Could like to write, take down these points, because until the books come, because I can, you can take the points of the first chapter which you completed already. It's very important for us to know the really how prana is glorious. Understand the Vyashti Pranaha. The standpoint of Vyashti Prana, you can see how without the prana, one vital air dividing itself into five different, you know, factors. It is involving itself in five different functions, governing five different systems actually. It really gives strength to, it really support for all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions, even the antakaranam. Whether the mind, for the mind to be able to think or even to know, to think, to remember, isn't it? Even to be conscious of one's own existence, you need a prana. If you faint or you fall asleep, in sleep, prana is still there. When you faint also, isn't it? Because of lack of energy or something, then what happens? You can see that you lose the existence of your own self. Which means ahankara, you don't know you are. So then you lose your memory. If you're not energetic, even you cannot remember things. You lose your memory. You cannot know. You cannot think. So antakarana, function of the all four functions of the antakarana, the mind, thinking, knowing, feeling, remembering, isn't it? Even being aware of one's own existence, for the mind to be functional, prana must be there. Same way, for you, all the sense powers, etc., for them to be functional, for the all the powers of organs of actions to be functional, then prana must be there. Without the prana, nothing can work. So how important prana is, you know. The same way, with the sukshma shariram, all the subtle factors, all the subtle principles, known as devas, they are dependent on the prana deva. Indriya deva, karmendriya devas, yanendriya devas, antakarana devatas, all of the devata are dependent on the prana deva. Which means you can understand the same way the samashti suksha prapanchaha also is what is dependent on samashti prana. Suppose it is the samashti prana shakti which is in the form of the surya. Samashti prana shakti which is in the form of chandra. Samashti prana shakti which is in the form of the stars. Samashti prana which is in the form of the everything here, every phenomenon. So samashti prana, when you say, is omnipotence, isn't it? That's why we say almighty. So samashti prana is namah everything. So understand the greatness of prana by analyzing your own sukshma shariram, thereby extend it to the, from vyashti to samashtihi. Isn't it? So this prana, glory of prana, has to understand at two levels. At the vyashti level, at the samashti level also. The total level, the microcosmic level, macrocosmic level, understand the greatness, glory of the prana. That is what is given here from the 4th mantra to the 13th mantra. Sorry, 5th to the 13th, in these mantras, in 8 mantras, the prana is glorified. So the upasam comes later on. Okay, upasam chapter comes later on. Today I will finish this second chapter. When the books will come, we will finish the second chapter today. This evening I'll finish. Okay, now what we'll do, the first chapter contents which I told in the morning, let me tell you just point to take down those points. Is it okay? So it will be good, isn't it, Ravi? Until the books come, can dictate. The first section, or in the first section known as Prathama Prashna. In the first section known as Prathama Prashnaha, or first chapter known as Prathama Prashnaha. The first question presented by the disciple called Kabandhi. Kabandhi Katyayanaha. Katyayana. Kabandhi, right? Kabandhi Katyayanaha is, so can comma inverted, make the question, okay? What is the origin, O Lord, what is the origin from where all these beings are born? Is the question. This question is regarding the creation. The main topic discussed in the first chapter is creation. The creation presented in this Upanishad is a peculiar one, involving five stages, as Mithuna Srishtihi, Loka Srishtihi, Kala Srishtihi, Anna Srishtihi, and Praja Srishtihi. Introduction of creation as Mithunam, a set of complementary factors, a pair, is a unique feature. Generally, there is division of universe into pairs. Generally, there is division of universe into pairs. Known as Dvandvaha. Dvandvaha, consisting of opposites. The very same pairs in the Prashna Upanishad, in this Upanishad, we can put PU, Prashna Upanishad, is known as Mithunam. Pair of mutually complementary factors. Pair of mutually complementary factors, even though they are opposites. The difference in interpreting in two ways or in two attitudes is that when we appreciate them as opposites, when we appreciate them as, understand them as opposites, we will helplessly have developed ragadveshas. We will helplessly develop ragadveshas as the desirable and the undesirable. As desirable and the undesirable. Full stop. But if we learn to appreciate them as complementary pair, mutually complementary pair, we'll see them together as a whole. We'll see them together as a whole. In any mutually complementary pair, both the factors or both the members are equally important. Equally important to form or make the whole. Even opposites such as life and death will become the integral part of the entire creation, the whole creation. The young age, old age, growth, decay are pairs that life does involve. Such an appreciation of the opposites as complementary pairs brings about acceptance. The resistance will gradually resolve. Association and separation, success and failure, association and separation make the life whole. Sorry, next. Association, separation and make the life whole. Success and failure, loss and gain, victory and defeat, honor and dishonor, light and darkness, heat and cold, etc., make the experience total and complete. Thus, Prashna Upanishad presents or gives the holistic vision in its own way. Okay, this is all about Mithunam. Okay, generally, this is a very important thing we've discussed, finished. Then the next, this is the first important point you need to remember in this first chapter. Now you got it, isn't it? I added some more opposites to make it very clear. Then the second important point. See, what is that first chapter I should remember? That's all I'm telling. So it will be easy, because we don't know books also. We'll get the books in the afternoon. Hopefully. The diversion in the presentation of the teaching after every srishtihi, after presenting every srishtihi, creation, presenting the creation at every stage, there's a slight diversion. The presentation of teaching at every stage of srishti, wherein the diversion actually Shukla Krishna, Shukla Gatihi and Krishna Gatihi, and the destinations. I don't need the translations, no? Shukla Gati, you know that. And their destinations, Brahma Lokaha, Swarga Lokaha, are mentioned. The second important point, which in diversion, what does the Upanishad do? In personally every stage, the diversion is talking about the lokas and their paths, that's all. Second point. So the third important thing to be remembered here is the mention of disciplines. Tapaha, Brahmacharyam, Shraddha. Tapaha, Brahmacharyam, Shraddha. These are the three important things you need to remember in the first section, the first chapter of what you have understood. You say you are thorough with it. Whether you know, now I can go on, so books come, I can read out the mantras for you, isn't it? Okay, now what we have seen from the morning we saw the first chapter, second chapter, no? But you can have second chapter important, like write down. When the books come, then we'll start the class, okay? They can write this as an introduction to the second section, second chapter. Prashna Upanishad happens to be the corresponding Brahmana Upanishad of the Mundaka Upanishad, the Mantra Upanishad elaborates on the content of the Mundaka Upanishad. The twofold knowledge, the Apara and Para, the twofold knowledge, Apara Vidya and Para Vidya, discussed in Mundaka Upanishad. Karma and Upasanam, don't need to translate, na? Karma and Upasanam as preparatory disciplines. Karma and Upasanam as preparatory disciplines form the content of Aparavidya. Or you can say, when you can drop the as also. Karma and Upasanam, the preparatory disciplines, form the content of the Aparavidya in Mundaka Upanishad. See, Karma and Upasanam form the preparatory disciplines, form the content of the Aparavidya. The karma is elaborately discussed. Upasanam is mentioned in one verse in Mundakam. Some of you studied with me Mundakam, some of you haven't studied, but still I just give you the understanding so that you will know tomorrow when you happen to study also. The karma is discussed elaborately there. Karma means what is karma, how limited it is, etc. elaborately. But Upasanam is discussed in only one verse there. Whereas here in Prashna Upanishad, Upasanam is discussed alone. discussed elaborately. Upasanam alone is discussed elaborately. Second and third chapters present the topic of Upasanam, the subject matter of Upasanam. Second and third chapters dedicated for the subject matter of the topic of Upasanam. It's good to know, isn't it? At least you don't need to break your heads later, that's right. So now you can write down the definition of meditation, Upasanam. You all know very well, you can write down yourself. Saguna, okay, I'll repeat, I'll tell you. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Saguna Brahma, Sagunam Brahma, one word. Saguna Brahma or Sagunam Brahma Vishaya. Sagunam Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Sagunam Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Vyaparaha. Pooja Swamiji, when he came first, that he mentioned that only in the class in London also. Sagunam Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. I tell you, Vyaparaha, for in Tamil language, I tell you, Vyaparaha means business. Never right only, not wrong. But it's actually, Vyapara, business means we think of something else. Any activity is what? Any action is Vyapara. Vyaparaha means any action. Sneezing all is Vyapara. Coughing is Vyapara. Yawning is Vyapara. Dozing is Vyapara. I'm telling you all this Vyapara. I see here, that's why. Okay, sitting is Vyapara. Getting up is Vyapara. Vyapara means any action. Any activity is Vyapara. So, Manasa Vyapara, thinking is what now? Thinking is not Kayika Vyapara. Kayika Vyapara. Thinking is not Kayika Vyapara, not Vachika Vyapara, it's a Manasa Vyapara. Understand? Thinking. Feeling is also what? Not Vachika or Kayika. Feeling sad is not, feeling sorrowful is not Kayika or Vachika, but Manasa. Getting angry is also what? Not, I'm just saying, just I'm telling you what is Manasa Vyapara means. There's no body involved. They can be expressed different as different thing, isn't it? Not Manasa or Vachika. See, now chanting, reciting is Vachika Vyapara, isn't it? Running out, walking up and down, doing yogasana is what? Kayika Vyapara. So Kayika, Vachika, Manasa Vyapara. But Upasanam, meditation is what? Purely Vyaparaha, Manasa Vyaparaha, mental activity. So Manasa Vyapara means, so there is some, so thinking. So for which, for the thinking, there may be object. You can't think without an object, isn't it? You have to think of something all the time, isn't it? Without attention of the mind has to be on something, isn't it? That's called thinking. So what is the object of thought? If the object of all the time we are Manasa Vyapara is happening, we think of food, we think of gooseberries, we think of that, think of coffee, think of tea, think of something else, anything. All the time we are thinking. There's no time Manasa Vyapara is not there. Mental activity is there or not? Mental activity is always there. But here, if the object of thought is Sagunam Brahma, Sagunam Brahma is another technical term for Ishwaraha, the Lord. Isn't it? What is Ishwaraha? What is the Lord? The object of thought is any object which symbolizes, which stands for Bhagavan, then it is Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyapara. Vishaya means object. So mental activity for which the object is Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha. The Sagunam Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha is Upasanam. So the very word Sagunam Brahma is so attributed Brahman. Ishwara is object. Only then it is a Manasa Upasanam. In Sagunam Brahma is not Vishaya. Ishwara is not the Vishaya, object of thought. It is not meditation, simply thinking, worrying, or something else. That's also Manasavyapara. Isn't Upasanam definition, you can call it meditation, only the object of thought is Sagunam Brahma. And wherein Sagunam Brahma, look at it as what? An object of meditation. Then when you see yourself as a meditator, different from the object of meditation also. But in this meditation, subject, object, division also is there. This is Sagunam Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. What? We say this Upasanam. Manasa Vyapara. Now what about I said Nididhyasanam is what? Nididhyasanam after Shravanam and Mananam, Nididhyasanam is also what? Purely Manasa Vyaparaha. But it is Nirguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. There, the object of thought is not an object. The object of thought is the very swarupam, one's own self. The object of thought is very swarupam of the meditator. Object of thought, meditation, is one's own swarupam. The very swarupam of the meditator. The very swarupam of the meditator. Very truth of the meditator. Just listen, I'll tell you afterwards. The very truth of the meditator. You know that, no? Which means, in Nirguna Brahma, Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha, Nididhyasanam, subject object division is not there. In Upasanam, subject object division is there. But here, in second and third chapters, when I say preparatory discipline is for what? For jnanam. But what is Nirguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha? There is not a preparatory discipline. So, preparatory discipline is practiced before the attainment of the knowledge. Whereas Nididhyasanam is practiced after the knowledge. So Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha, this Upasanam as a preparatory discipline before the knowledge. Whereas Nididhyasanam is practiced after, it's a Manasa Vyaparaha, mental activity, but practiced after the knowledge, attainment of knowledge, for assimilation of the knowledge. Not for the attainment of knowledge. So this Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha, Saguna Brahma Dhyanam is for preparing the mind for Jnanam, whereas Nirguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha Nididhyasanam is for assimilation of the knowledge. For knowledge or assimilation of the knowledge. Isn't it? That's difference is there. So in second and third chapters, the Upasanam discussed here is a preparatory discipline. Therefore, it is not for the assimilation, it is for the preparation. Isn't it? For preparing mind for jnana. Those things are must be very clear. So Sagunam Brahma can say qualified Brahman, attributed Brahman. Okay. Then the next thing. The Upasya Devata. Upasya Devata. The deity, the object of meditation, the deity. Who is to be meditated upon? Upasya Devata. Who is to be meditated upon? See, how physics or chemistry or mathematics needs a systematic understanding. Shastra also needs systematic understanding. Because it is not used as a qualification for getting professional, for getting a job and all that, people take it for granted. They can come any day, can understand everything. No. Regularly, you have to listen from this systematic. Only then you can understand. Otherwise, here also a lot of doubts will come. This also requires your attention, commitment. Without commitment, it's not possible. The doubts will be there. Anyway, so the Upasya Devata. The Upasya Devata. Upasya Devata. It is important to know the glories of the Upasya Devata. It's very important to know the glories of the Upasya Devata. See, you will never go, even to go and see somebody, unless you should know something about the person, isn't it? If you don't know anything about the person, why should you go and meet the person? Isn't it? For us to revere somebody, to have respect for somebody, you know, you must know something good about the person. If you don't know anything good about the person, how can you have any respect or reverence? The same way here also, Upasya Devatas, very important for us, for one to know the glories of Upasya Devata. What are the glories? How the great the person is? How glorious the person is? What are the good things we have to appreciate on the person? We should know something about the person. Only then we can have some reverence, the respect, a devotion. So Upasana, that's why it's very important to know the glories of the Upasana Devata. Only then Upasana will be successful. Why? Because what will you meditate upon? If you have to meditate upon somebody, what will you meditate upon? You have to know. Suppose if you say this is the person, please think of this person. You should know what will think of. If suddenly I say, please think of some Tom. Who is the Tom? How tall is he? How fat is he? What is his complexion? Where is he living? How does he look? Nothing you know. How will you think of the person? You need to know something about the person to think of a person. When you say meditate upon Krishna, you should know the glories of Krishna. You should meditate upon Rama, so many things you have to see. What are all the things, what all he symbolizes, what all he stands for. Meditate upon Hanumanji, what are all the things he symbolizes, that you should know. Why, what are the glories of Hanuman? Meditation means what? That's why, in fact, every day we go to temple, see Hanuman means, along with that form, so many things glorious will come to your mind. That's what Hanumadhyanam. Suddenly, Hanjivagri will come, Sudamani will come, isn't it? So many, whole Ramayana story will come to your mind. Hanuman means so many factors will come to your mind. When you see Rama, so many factors will come to your mind. Sita, some things will come. That's why the story, in fact, listen to the Katha itself, Katha Shravanam, Katha Kalakshepaha, we say. Kalakshepaha means what? Time passing. Okay? Literally, Kalasya Kshepaha. You are spending your time. Kalasya Kshepaha, time passing. In our culture, passing, if you have nothing to do, time passing is not simply chit-chatting and then doing. Listen to some story. Story or some Purana Katha. Okay, story narrated in the legend. Not simply. And then listen to the story, elaborate description of the characters and the places by listening to everything associated with Bhagavan only. Ramayana Katha, Bhagavata Saptaham, so significant. Why? Because you listen to Krishna Leela itself for 7 days. You know, glories of Rama, like that, listen. So who listen to the story, all mind is only in the glories of Bhagavan. How glorious, no? How great he was. Where mind keeps attention. Now, without your knowledge, you are in meditation. Saguna Brahma Upasana. That is why Katha Kalakshepa, in every temple we had Purana Katha Kalakshepa, those days. Some way, make the story interesting, and then we can get emotion also. Sometimes we will be laughing also, and you can listen to the whole thing. Upasana. So very important for us to know the glories of the Upasya Devata, the deity to be meditated upon, for us to develop devotion and reverence, so that we'll be able to focus. Therefore, Upasya Devata here is who Hiranyagarbha. In the second chapter, second section, Upasya Devata is Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is who? Sagunam Brahma. You can say Sagunam Brahma is what? Whether Antaryamishwaraha, Hiranyagarbha, Virat, everything is what? Ishwara, Sagunam Brahma only. So here Upasya Devata is Sagunam Brahma. Of course, Devata is Hiranyagarbha, not Virat. So it's a Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Hiranyagarbha is the Upasya Devata. So Hiranyagarbha Stuti is presented, Stutihi or Stavaha. The glory of Hiranyagarbha is presented first in the second chapter as an answer to the second question. Then Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is discussed in the third section, third chapter, as an answer to the third question. Brahma Vidya comes only last, isn't it? No, as an answer to the second question, the glories of Hiranyagarbha is presented in the second chapter. The third chapter, as an answer to the third question, the Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is discussed. Okay, Hiranyagarbha Stutihi in second chapter, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam in the third chapter. They are associated, connected. See, I'm telling you why there is a Hiranyagarbha Stutihi. You can ask, you can say, no, people are there, but they will say, I'm interested in Stuti. I want only Hiranyagarbha, I want to just do Upasanam. I'm not interested in knowing the glories of Hiranyagarbha. We can say something. So Upanishad makes it very clear. So for you to be able to meditate upon Hiranyagarbha, first of all, you should have devotion to Hiranyagarbha. For devotion means what? Must have reverence for that. And also, the mind also has to expand. And for the expansion of the mind, for it to have reverence and devotion, definitely we should know really how glorious Hiranyagarbha is. For the Hiranyagarbha, why Stutihi is discussed in the second chapter? Answer is given, isn't it? That's why. See, for example, I tell you, you already have studied Taittiriya Upanishad. Studied, of course, in Mandukya, simply essence of the teaching. In Taittiriya, we have some upasanas. There also we had a Hiranyagarbha upasana. There also we had some other upasanas, but there also we had Omkara upasana. And before the Omkara upasanam is presented, there's a Omkara stutihi. It's a glory of Omkara. Om ittetada nakriti rasma. Do you have that? Om it, no? So we have that all Omkara stutihi is given in this first. Then only Omkara upasana is discussed. So here, that's not very made elaborately, presented explicitly, and in this Upanishad is made very explicit. Why Hiranyagarbha stutihi in the whole of second chapter? And then, how comes the Hiranyagarbha Upasanam? One thing, and here who is the T? Now, we'll see that. So here, the second question, in the second chapter, is asked by the student, Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi. So Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi is the name of the disciple. Second name of the second disciple who asked the second question.
Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi. So introduction to the chapter is over. Okay? Bhargavaha Vaidarbhihi is asking the question. And here, actually question is one, but he puts in, as a three questions. One question is presented in three questions. Finally, what he wants to know is how glorious Hiranyagarbha is the spirit of the question. How glorious Hiranyagarbha is. That is the actual question. But how does he put it? Isn't it? So he puts it, he presents the three questions. The first question he asked is, how many devas, how many devaha? You can write the principles. How many devaha, devas, sustain or support the physical body or system, keeping it integrated. By keeping it integrated. The very question will make you think how glorious it is, isn't it? The minute prana leaves, head will fall like this. Isn't it? Nobody will know. I could see the day when the hand was lifted, it will go like this, isn't it? No, nothing will go like this. How you cannot prevent the body from getting disintegrated once the prana leaves the physical body. Anyway, yeah. So what I want to say here, just for us to remember, it's a fact to be, even though it's a very such a simple thing, we already know this, but how important the prana is, isn't it? And he also slowly, you see how you're becoming objective also. You see, you talk about the body, you talk about the prana, you don't say I here. Isn't it? You're slowly, yes, see, effortlessly you are becoming objective. Oh, body only, no, it's not me. Isn't it? We're talking about the body. So what, how? That's why the word used, very important word, vidharanam. See, vidharanam. The two words used in this mantra, one is vidharanam. Dharanam means holding it, supporting it. Vidharanam means holding it integrated. Holding it into visheshena dharanam, vidharanam. Vishesha dharanam, vidharanam. See, dharanam is holding. Vishesha dharanam means what? Holding them together. Holding them integrated together. Pudichu vekkirudhu. Then the vidharanam actually pudichu vekkirudhu. Tamil sonna pidithu vekkirudhu. Summa vekkirudhu. The V, prefix V, the prefix V says how keeping them together.